It is a great privilege for me to be here. I'm glad that each one of you is here. Amen. I have a word for you. Amen. You listen to the scripture reading. Our brother talked about wisdom. You may have an opportunity to get some. This may not be why you came. You may not know why you came, but you are here. And listen, if I say man, I'm not excluding woman. I'm talking to all of you, to each one of you. I want to ask you a question. What do you do? How do you react when you are told that what you are doing is not right or proper? Your response may show whether you are wise or a fool. Paul wrote to the young Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1, and he emphasized what he was about to say with an invocation of Almighty God. 2 Timothy 4, 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, I want to be sure you understand what we're talking about. I'll pull a Johnny Carter. To reprove is to speak words of disapproval, to censure, to chide, to upbraid, to castigate, to reprimand. That's what reproof means. Rebuke, Timothy was told to rebuke, and it means much the same thing. To exhort is to urge, to advise, or caution earnestly, to give admonition. Now, admonition is counseling. Admonition is advising. This Christians are to do regularly. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we are to admonish, advise, encourage one another regularly. The wise man wrote in Ecclesiastes 4:13, a sort of strange word. He said, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. An old and foolish king who will not be admonished. We say, well, that's foolish. Counselors are needed. Indeed, the wise man said, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, how did the old king get to this place? After giving the orders for years, he developed a frame of mind, a psychology, a self-esteem that would brook no opposition. His word was law. To him, right had come to mean what he willed. And to him, wrong had come to mean anything that was contrary to his wishes. So soon it came about that he regarded no one as good enough or wise enough to reprove him. Do we have an example? In an obscure passage that I will read to you, there was one of the kings of Judah named Amaziah. He went to war against Edom, the descendants of Esau, and was victorious. Great. But he took the gods of the Edomites and brought them home. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made for the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbare and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. And old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. But you do not have to be old. You do not have to be a king to fail to receive admonition. To get this frame of mind, I read in Proverbs 15, verse 15. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Amen. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Now, children, there is a good reason why God gave you parents. See if you can find out why it was. In Proverbs 15:10, a little further in the same chapter, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You may listen to criticism and hate it. The point that I am making is that is an unprofitable attitude. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. The scribes and the Pharisees had reached the point of the old and foolish king. Of John, John said, Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. The common people heard him gladly. They were baptized. The scholars, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we have Abraham to our father. Who is this country bumpkin? Who does he think he is calling on us to repent? He has not been to seminary. It was the same response that our Lord encountered when he would talk to men about sin and salvation. We be Abraham's children and were never in bondage to any man. How knoweth this man letters, seeing he never learned? So correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. He goes on in this 15th chapter of Proverbs in verse 31 to say, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. What are these reproofs of life? As you go along life's way, there are seasonable lessons to be learned. And you will learn them if you are to profit from them. Fathers are given an assignment. I read in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. Admonition is instruction, advising, words. Nurture is discipline. Or as my mother said, discipline. Admonition is words, but if words are insufficient for accomplishing the correction, then discipline. You do not have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out the moral to that story. If I will do what he says, it will be easy for me. If I do not do what he says, it will be unprofitable for me. Now, those are the facts of the case. What is your attitude about it? If you say, he loves me, he wishes what is best for me, he knows more than I do at this point, so I am glad he is trying to keep me out of trouble. That is wise.
Yes.
That is wise.
Yes.
The other pole, who does he think he is? Why should I be forced to do it his way? I have my rights too. This is foolish. The Jewish leaders missed salvation because they would not hear correction. I read in Luke 7, verse 30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of John. They did not heed John's call for repentance, and so were not baptized by him. The common people who heard him gladly, Luke 7:29, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. So, again, Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, the counsel of God to you was stated succinctly when the multitude said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said, John 6:29, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent."
Yes.
Believe on him whom he hath sent. You're familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Can you hear that? Can you qualify that way by believing? I read in Hebrews 3 about some who did not believe. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The reproofs of life are those things that we encounter as we go through this way. And you may say, "Well, I don't like the rules of the game." That is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. It does not change anything. The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, has framed a plan for the redemption of some who will come to his Son for life. Who will take the opportunity to be a part of his grand scheme. I read in John 1:11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name."
Yes.
And in the concluding verses of the Bible, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you thirsty? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And so I read, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. This will not always be the case. You need to act promptly. The offer will be withdrawn. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are many here who have come to the fountain of life and have drunk deeply. Is there a word for you in all of this? I feel like Jeremiah when Zedekiah came to him in the prison and said, Is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. Amen. There is. Yes. And the word for you is James 1:19. Therefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. 2 Timothy 3:16, we're all familiar with. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, and so forth, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. Correction. Yes. Instruction. We need that?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Suppose that you have been in the ministry, that you have had a measure of success. Now suppose that someone comes along and points out the weaknesses and the sins in your setup. What then? James said, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, but I can with statistics and reports refute these words. So I hear them not. Is that wise? Do I love correction? Or do I attempt to prove that the reprover is completely out of order? We be the seed of Abraham. And those who have already entered the state where they will not receive admonition are not likely to profit by my warning. But let me sound it anyhow. We are not to grow weary of God's correction. The wise men wrote, Proverbs 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." Indeed, if we have good vision, we can see blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Have reverses come in your situation until you wonder how much more you can take? Then listen to the apostle. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So do not faint when corrected by him. Despise not. Despair not." I want to give you A.W. Tozer's rules for profiting from correction. Number one, don't defend your church or organization against criticism. If it is false, it can do no harm. If it is true, you need to hear it and do something about it. Number two, be concerned not with what you have accomplished, but with what you might have accomplished if you had followed the Lord completely. It is better to say and really mean, "We are unprofitable servants." Number three, when reproved, pay no attention to the source. Do not ask whether it is a friend or an enemy that reproves you. An enemy is often of greater value than a friend, because he is not influenced by sympathy. Number four is keep your heart open to the correction of the Lord and be ready to receive his chastisement regardless of who holds the whip. David had his Ahithophel. his friend and counselor. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. David had his Ahithophel. Our Lord had his Judas. And we are not better than he. Keep your heart open to the correction of the Lord and be ready to receive his chastisement regardless of who holds the whip.